is coming soon. Amidst all these questions and contradictions, the son who seeks the truth, tell me, why do the babies starve? There's enough food to feed the world. Why wouldn't there so many of us if there are people still alone? Why are the missions called peacekeepers when there ain't to kill? Why is a woman still not safe when she's in her home? Love is hate, war is peace, love is yes, we're all free. But somebody's gonna have to answer. The time is coming soon when the blind remove their blinders and the streets will speak the truth. Tell me, why do the babies starve? There's enough food to feed the world. Why when there's so many of us, there are people still alone? Missiles called peacekeepers when they're aimed to kill. Why is a woman still not safe when she's in her home? Love is hate, war is peace, war is yes, we're all free.
It's 88.9 FM, KUCI, in Irvine, where in this next hour programming, the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. It's time now for Talking Animals, KUCI. That's music from Oscar Aleman with a piece called Tiger Rag as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine and streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. And the whole shebang, of course, is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And I absolutely urge you to use that number and call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy. I'm telling you, we love to get calls. Otherwise, we get a bit lonely here at the KUCI studios. And you know, we're pretty darn friendly here at Talking Animals, especially so with callers. So please phone us. Other ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and checking out our wonderful website at talkinganimals.net. That's right, Serena. That's .net, folks. And speaking of which, before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another stirring session of the Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. And it's been a little over 8 months since we launched Talking Animals. And we've been enormously fortunate during that time to have a long string of terrific guests, ranging from Dr. Sophia Yin, a veterinarian who's done pioneering research on dog barks and what they mean, to Dan Matthews, who is Vice President of Communications at PETA, is the chief strategist of the organization's high-profile campaigns, to our recent spirited, sprawling, and truly stimulating conversation with comedian, actress, activist, and animal lover Janine Garofalo. Not only are all the shows featuring those interviews archived on our nifty website at www.talkinganimals.net, but our string of exceptional guests continues today when we speak with Michelle Hunter, the director of Friends of the Sea Lion Marine Mammal Center, a Laguna Beach facility that, among other things, rescues and rehabilitates seals, sea lions, sea elephants, and other such critters, primarily in the Orange County area, and has been doing so for more than 30 years. So we'll find out more about Friends of the Sea Lion Marine Mammal Center when we speak with Michelle Hunter in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, on Talking Animals, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news. And I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals. Not only this week's animal news items, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss. Announcements, maybe you have an event or know of one coming up that we should be aware of, and announcing to our Talking Animals listeners. Anything else, observations, of course, any stories, news stories you might have spotted that we should also be aware of, all of that would be most welcome. Phone number is 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. So turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight, and with any luck to get your comments on and discuss. We also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. So that said, let's talk turkey. That's right, as it were. Going to start off, as always, really talking about Tiger Rescue. It's going to sort of whip through it, except for one important detail that's different today, perhaps. Since I do talk about it at the top of every show for, you know, really months now, and rightly so. Anyways, this is the facility in Colton, California, sort of out in broad strokes by San Bernardino. It was a so-called sanctuary for tigers and other big cats. Greatly, greatly neglected the facility was, and so not coincidentally, the animals there were greatly, greatly neglected. So the proprietor is up on a string of very serious criminal charges, and unfortunately, that trial has been postponed a number of times. But anyway, most of the animals that were there when this all kind of went down are still there for various reasons, including that, you know, it's hard to find a good home for, well, at the time it was more than this, but now there's still 30-some-odd tigers and big cats. So, but they are going to be relocated to this really cool, one of the cool facilities run by PAWS up in Northern California. Up in, they have this amazing, huge place in San Andreas called ARC 2000. So that's the good news, but they haven't moved yet, and in fact, they're still there and have been for several months, these animals. And so an amazing man named Chuck Tracy has left his own facility that he otherwise runs down in Ramona, California, by San Diego, called the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center. to oversee the day-to-day operation of Tiger Rescue and make sure these animals are properly cared for, especially after what they've been through. But primarily, this is all accomplished by a huge, huge and ever-shifting group of volunteers who drive in from all parts of Southern California, now Northern California, and even other states at this point, to help these animals. So I say this partly by way of hoping that you might, if you find any time in your schedule, even if you could just carve out some time on a weekend, a weekday, anything, to drive out and become one of these volunteers, you'll find it a really amazing, cool, exhilarating experience. I mean, basically, you know, you're cleaning up these cages and enclosures, you're looking after the animals just generally, later in the day you're feeding them, and but it's really, really cool and really fulfilling, great work, and you know, it's it just needs to be done, obviously, until they can be relocated. So I just urge you to see if you can find some time to do that, and if you can, please let us know at talkinganimals@aol.com, and we will hook you up with the people to coordinate that. Meanwhile, I just want to send good wishes out to Chuck Tracy, who's developed a bit of a medical situation, and I'm sure it's all going to work out great, but I know everyone's keeping good thoughts and warm wishes and important prayers for him. So really an amazing man, really kind of one of the more, you know, the animal world is full of really cool heroic figures, but he's one of the most impressive I've come across in my animal world travels. So anyway, that's Tiger Rescue. Also kind of related to a guest we've had in the past on the show, and also something we try to talk about now and again, which is Baja Animal Sanctuary, which is down by Rosarito Beach, and we had Sonny Benedict on the show some time ago. But I mean, it's an odd place with just a distinct set of challenges, as Sonny explained when she was on the show. And again, those shows and interviews are all archived on the website talkinganimals.net. But still, even then, I don't think she would have anticipated this development, which is basically the city of Rosarito is building a quote-unquote dog pound right next door to the sanctuary. And the weird part, or weirder part, is that on a regular, I guess, but you know, limited basis, the Pereira, the dog pound in Spanish, go out to the sanctuary and start grabbing dogs. So anyways, it just sounds insane and horrific. And so anything that you can do, if you know anybody in the media down in the San Diego and beyond, obviously over the border area, because when the city of Rosarito, you know, which relies heavily on tourism, gets any kind of bad press, they take notice. And so anything you could do to call attention to this, I mean, truly sort of bizarre move. I mean, I don't know enough about it probably, but what I do know is still it just sounds crazy. And of course, complicating and undermining the work that Sonny and all the amazing people at Baja Animal Sanctuary are doing. So anything you could do to call that to anyone's attention, other people, especially people who have any kind of media contacts in the San Diego and especially over the border into the Rosarito area, would be really helpful and much appreciated. So also, I guess, sort of on a little run of guests related things for people who've been guests on the show in the past. Back in August, we had a guest named Connie Lee Thompson, who a wonderful vet technician here in Orange County. And but part of the reason she was on is she teaches classes in pet first aid and CPR for cats and dogs. So we learned all about that. But there's some other classes that have been gearing up. There's still a couple more on the horizon that I wanted to tell you about. There, it's just a one-day, five-hour class. It's Sundays from noon to 5. And there's one coming up this Sunday in Huntington Beach. Of course, that's the 29th. And then next month, there's one on the 21st, also in Huntington Beach. But, I mean, the course teaches you how to recognize and respond to pet emergencies. It covers how to approach and handle injured pets, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, controlling bleeding, treatment of shock, how to manage, you know, more common emergencies, choking, snake bites, fractured limbs, poisoning. So it's really cool, and you you learn all this stuff, you get a book, you get certified, and it's really, you know, if you have animals around the house, if you're around them at all, just generally, if you might be crossing paths with some neighbors, friends, family, others, whatever, It's a really cool thing to do. So if you're interested in finding out more, just call Trina at 949-586-4250 to sign up. That's Trina at 949-586-4250. And got a nice newsletter alert from the Orange County People for Animals, yet another organization, of course, that we've had represented on the show. So just a couple things from their cool alert. We'll get into maybe some other ones next time. But one thing I was pleased to see is that hunting declines in the U.S., this quick little headline says. The Fund for Animals released a report on the state of hunting in America. The report reveals that the decline in hunting that began in the 1970s is continuing unabated in the 21st century. Despite intense efforts by the hunting industry to recruit new hunters, hunting has fallen from 14 million in 1991 to 13 million in 2001. So we're getting there. One other item from the OCPA newsletter for now. Armed with evidence of ongoing mistreatment and suffering of ducks, animal rights activists are encouraging the San Joaquin County, California District Attorney to investigate and prosecute Sonoma Fuagua for violating California's animal cruelty statute. So you can support that prosecution if you're interested in doing so by contacting San Joaquin County DA's office, Deputy District Attorney Dorothy Klishevic at San Joaquin County District's office, Attorney's Office, 222 East Weber Avenue, room 202, Stockton, California. More to the point, the phone number there is 209-468-2400. And again, if you want to double-check that with me, call me up, 949-824-5824. And, or you can email us, of course, at talkinganimals at AOL.com. Let's see what else. I think that brings us actually to our little weekly instant short quiz. And this, as you might recall, is a one question, true false quiz that we do in the middle of the news. And basically, if you call in, the first person to call in with the correct answer, you will win a prize, and we've got cool prizes. We've got CDs and books from previous guests, including a book actually from not a guest yet, but Shirley MacLaine's book that she co-wrote with her dog. We've got a CD from Ian Anderson, I think another CD from Kurt, who had the dog songs. And then we got apparel and accessories and umbrellas and all kinds of cool stuff, all animal-related stuff, of course. So anyway, that pertains both for now and later when we do Name That Animal Tune. So here's our question. True false. The oldest elephant on record lived to be 77 years old. True or false? First one that gets that right, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI, we'll get a prize. All right, continuing on a sort of national level, but like everybody can relate to this. We're sorry to see that Spot, the Bush's 14-year-old dog, was euthanized over the weekend after a series of strokes. So always a tough deal, and just feel bad. That's just, you know, no matter who it is or what their politics might be, that's just a very tough situation. So our condolences there to the Bush family, words I wouldn't particularly hear on the show a lot, but in that situation, I think that's what's called for. Also found this pretty interesting recently in the LA Times. I'm just going to read it to you because it's kind of more fun that way, maybe. It's not surprising that a gardening project in Encino leaves people stumped. Who would expect, after all, to find a koala food farm located between a quiet residential neighborhood and the Ventura Freeway? But that's where a eucalyptus tree plantation has been under cultivation for 22 years. Some of the eucalyptus species, grown by the Los Angeles Recreation and Parks Department tower, nearly 100 feet in the air. Hundreds of others are trimmed to form 6-foot stumps that are arranged in rows, resembling an Illinois cornfield at harvest time. The 5-acre farm is carefully tended for a very exclusive customer, a single 2-year-old male koala named Baz, who lives at the LA Zoo. So half a dozen of them were there when they started this farm, And they're hoping, of course, when Baz becomes sexually mature in another couple years or so and ready for breeding, there'll be more. But anyway, found that unusual in the world of animals and animal news. So we try to look for those and mix it up a little bit. So probably lastly for now, if we have more time, we'll hit a couple other things later in the show perhaps. But want to also call your attention to something we've frequently done here on Talking Animals. It's called the Animal Rescue Site. And it's indeed a website that you can go every day. In fact, they urge you to. And if you click on the portion that says feed an animal in need, that indeed frees up money to feed an animal at a rescue facility and or provide them other kinds of care. And this is through an arrangement with the corporate sponsors and advertisers that are on that website. So they use the number of daily visits to assess how much they're going to donate for food and care. So obviously, if you can go, can't go more than once a day, but if you can go once a day, this will help all kinds of our animal friends and all kinds of places. So that website is www.theanimalrescuesite.com. So I think for now, at least, that's going to do it for this edition of the Animal News, Talking Animals. If you have any questions on any details, dates, phone numbers, names, numbers, ranks, serial numbers, you can email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com, of course. You can call us at 949-824-5824. And also, I'm pleased to remind you, perhaps redundantly so, about the Talking Animals website. We hope you'll check out the site at www.talkinganimals.net. That's .net. That's right. And join, sign up for the email list, if you will, so we can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of the shows, assorted photographs and articles, all kinds of links, other audio pieces and more. So please stop by and take a look around the site again. It's talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which is always, of course, involves an animal-oriented piece of comedy. This is a vintage piece from Bill Cosby called Animal Stories on KUCI.
The thing I never really dug when I was a kid happened to be the horse or dog stories. Never did like them, mainly because I had a feeling they were trying to get me to cry. And also, my real reason for not digging horse and dog stories was the fact that they really tried to make grown-ups look smart. I mean, as far as dogs are concerned, like the grown-ups could really understand whatever the dog was saying. And that's not true. Grown-ups are not that smart. I mean, for instance, you always have... Now, wait. No, before you get in there, here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. You know, like the movies are really kind of weird because, see, like, I used to line up on Saturdays, 9 o'clock, to get in at 1. And I didn't like guys who sang. Singing cowboys couldn't use them at all, mainly because these guys sang in the middle of the picture, which was a drag, because I can't really believe that the cat's going like,
kill him right on.
And then all of a sudden, some guy's ride along today. Get on, doggies, get on in. And I'm looking for the band. I said, where's the band? Where's the, you know, is he behind a rock? Show me somebody. Show me one cat with a fiddle, anything. But this don't have the guy out there singing as the recording machine in the horse's face. Really weird. But now in the dog stories, they always made it so that the grown-ups would talk to animals, man, and they don't. They're not that bright. First, all dog stories are the same. You have the dog, of course. And by the way, as I was thinking, whatever happened to the old dog, Stars? Where are they? There's only one left. Rin Tin Tin is gone. Lassie is the only dog alive still working in pictures. Have you seen Rin Tin Tin anywhere in the movies? Gone. Goodbye. Rin Tin Tin, I saw in Hollywood parking cars. Yeah, had a big gut on him and everything.
Yeah, he's telling me, I'll be back. I'm going to make a big movie over in Europe. You know, Italian movie. They want me over there. War story.
And he drinks and everything. It's terrible. But these dog stories are always the same. You have a little kid who loves the dog, and he found him somewhere, and he's walking with the dog, and the dog just, ow, 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 ow. And you have John and Mary, who are the father. The father's always smoking a pipe and has a checkerboard shirt, woolen checkerboard shirt.
Yes, Mary, it's always, oh, yes, John, and the farm is doing well.
And here comes the sheriff. He's coming, and the sheriff says, good morning, and the dog smells the sheriff and don't dig him, and bites the sheriff's leg.
And the sheriff says, kill the dog, I'll kill him. And the dog runs away. Didn't shoot him, just runs away. And the kid runs up, come back, dog, come back, come back, come back. And the mother and father stand there, oh, yes, that's wonderful. He'll bring him back and they'll be back. But they don't come back because the kid's hiding out in the forest now in the middle of a blizzard with an old man who is the hermit of the forest. See, and he's teaching them how to drink wine. And they're reading philosophy and getting juiced up.
Have another drink.
Now, tell me about the forest again. So now the sheriff, who is really a bad guy, his buddies come in from Utah. And they say, ah, ha, ha, you're the sheriff. What are you doing? And they hit him over the head and tie him up, and they burn the jail down. Now, the jail is burning down. The sheriff is tied up, and you see the flames coming in. He's there, other than the flames coming in. And all of a sudden, who shows up but the dog? And the dog comes in, and the sheriff sees the dog. He says, dog, go tell John and Mary that I'm tied up and that this jail is burning down. And the dog says, right. Now, the dog runs 12 miles. You know, over hill and dale. And he goes up, and there's John and Mary standing in the sunshine and smoking a pipe. And it's a wonderful day today. And the dog comes right up to him and says, and they say, what? The jail's burning down and the sheriff is tied up. Wait, hey. Now, my objection is that when it comes to animals, grown-ups are not that bright. I know people, grown-ups, who own dogs, have had dogs 10, 20 years, live in New York, and the dog is barking in the apartment. And I say, what's the matter with your dog? I said, I don't know. And then the dog peed all over everything. They're just not that bright. Brightest guy I know owns an apartment in New York, has an elephant. Anytime the elephant makes a noise, take him right out. Let's go. What's he going to do? I don't know, but he ain't going to do it in here, whatever it is.
All right, that's none other than Bill Cosby with a piece called Animal Stories, taken from his CD entitled The Best of Bill Cosby. Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you are indeed listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 88.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many as you know, we also stream live on the internet at KUCI.org. Some of you know that or listening that very way, and some of you perhaps got there through our nifty website, talkinganimals.net. Before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed on Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that this week's guest is Michelle Hunter, the director of Friends of the Sea Lion Marine Mammal Center, a Laguna Beach facility that rescues and rehabilitates seals, sea lions, sea elephants, and other folks like that, primarily in the Orange County area, and has been doing so for more than 30 years now. So let's find out all about Friends of the Sea Lion Marine Mammal Center in an interview recorded last week. This is Michelle Hunter on Talking Animals here on KUCI. Okay, joining us today on Talking Animals is Michelle Hunter from Friends of the Sea Lion Marine Mammal Center. Say that three times fast. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thanks so much for joining us on Talking Animals. And if I'm not mistaken, you're the center director?
Yes, I'm the director of operations and animal care.
All right.
Titles in one.
I like it. Cool. Well, we're big on titles and words over there at the Marine Mammal Center. I definitely want to get into all kinds of aspects of the center sort of currently, including the patients there now and how truly committed the animal people that are listening might get involved as volunteers. But and of course I was there as recently as yesterday. But I think it might be useful too to start just touching a little bit on the center's history, because I know it's been around for a good number of years.
Yes, we've been around since 1971.
Wow! And was it in the same location by any chance? Or
actually, it started with a lifeguard on the beach, and a little girl came up to him and said that there was a sick seal on the beach. Could he help? And this was way before the Marine Mammal Protection Act. And he says, well, I really don't think I can help. I don't know much about animals. And it was kind of nagging at him all day, and he finally went down that afternoon and saw the little seal on the beach and took it to one of the local vet's offices. And that's how we kind of got started.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was in his backyard for a while. And then it was moved down in Laguna towards the sewer treatment plant. And then we're at our location probably since 19... 80 or so.
Okay, so still a pretty good long time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and to the extent you can speak to this, how, I mean, from that sort of very early, I don't want to say primitive, but sort of just sort of improvising moment you just described, I mean, how would you say that the mission of the center has really changed, especially maybe more in recent years?
I think the mission hasn't really changed. It's always been to rescue, rehabilitate, and release marine mammals that strand in Orange County.
Okay.
But I think with the education piece of our mission, we've just taken such great strides with that. We have summer camps and after-school kids program, and we're doing much more presentations and outreach programs in Orange County.
And okay.
That has really grown since our inception.
So the mission has really remained largely consistent, but it's how that's been put into to effect and the way it's broadened out, really, it sounds like, is the way
yeah.
it's really changed.
And also marine mammal medicine, I mean, back then it was, you know, it was all trial and error, so to speak, and we've just learned so much through the years, even the past 10 years, just so much more technology and knowledge and sharing of knowledge with other facilities that marine mammal medicine and care of stranded pinnipeds, you know, has really just been wonderful.
And you know what, that reminds me, I was kind of thinking when I was at the center yesterday that maybe a kind of a neat way to go about at least some of this interview and really learning about the center would be to maybe kind of just you know, sort of walk us through maybe the center's process with a specific patient.
Okay.
So I was thinking maybe Little Turkey, just because he's been there, as near as I can tell, the longest. One of the many cool things I should let listeners know on the website, which is www.fslmmc, or Friends of the Sea Lion Marine Mammal Center, .org, is that there's a really cool a section of current patients, which really gives kind of their name, what they are, species, male, female, when they got there, and kind of, you know, date, weight, length, and then kind of what their symptoms were when they arrived there. So, so maybe since, again, since Little Turkey's been there the longest, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about, like, you know, how he was discovered and brought to your attention, and maybe we can kind of just go proceed from there.
Sure. Most of the animals, including Little Turkey, come up on the beach. They want to get warm and dry. They want to rest. Just like when we don't feel good, we want to crawl into bed. Well, they mm-hmm. want to get out of that ocean and get warm and dry.
Right.
So they'll come up on local beaches to rest. And then lifeguards or the people that are lucky enough to live on the beach will find them there and give us a call. And we go down with our rescue truck, and we have special nets and cages. And we evaluate the animal if he is just healthy and resting on land or if he does indeed need help.
Yeah.
And Little Turkey was our first what we call pup of the season. California sea lions are born in May, June, July, and he came up in November around Thanksgiving, such was the name Little Turkey.
I see.
That was
I gotcha.
More like a butterball turkey.
I see.
But, you know, we go out and rescue them, and we bring them back to our center and evaluate their condition. And most of the animals that come in, just like Little Turkey, are usually malnourished and dehydrated.
Okay, yeah.
So,
I noticed they specifically said he was underweight, which looks to be quite common in terms of symptoms.
You can tell the animals, you can see the backbone, the rib cage, you can physically see that they are underweight.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start rehydrating them with tube feedings with electrolytes, and then we start adding a marine mammal milk replacer, and then start adding fish to the formula and get it up to like a McDonald's thick milkshake
type
of consistency.
And that's how they get their weight up?
Yes.
Okay.
And once they start getting onto a thicker formula, then we start introducing fish to their diet, whole fish. Because if you give them fish right away when they're dehydrated, they're not going to be able to tolerate that and digest it.
I see.
And it can actually hurt them more than help them.
Just because their system isn't equipped at that point.
Right.
I gotcha.
Yeah, it's like when we're sick, we start off with chicken noodle soup and work our way back up.
Sure.
You know, to a heavy diet.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
And then, in his case, in addition to being underweight, I noticed that kind of the other key symptom, at least, was an abscess on his left front flipper, I think it was.
Yes.
So, first of all, how might that kind of injury occur, and then what have you guys done, or what would you typically do to address such an injury?
Abscesses, injuries like that can occur from being, you know, beat up on the rocks, you know, or could have been bit by another animal if he's mm-hmm. in an area with some other animals.
Okay.
Because they do bite one another.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we start them on antibiotics.
Okay.
And we clean the wound up. and, you know, it heals up really nicely. We don't usually stitch wounds and just let it keep open and let, you know, the drainage out and let it heal up naturally.
I see. And then does he get placed, or maybe even already has been maybe, with other sea lions at a certain point, or is he kept separate, or is that kind of case by case depending on how people have arrived, or how, not people, how sea lions have arrived there?
Usually it's case by case, but a lot of times the sea lions, if you put them in a pen by themselves, they get a little stressed. You know, they're in a strange environment.
Mm-hmm.
They're picked up off the beach. Where the heck are they now?
Sure.
You know? So we put him in with another animal. It's like, oh, my God, there's somebody else here, you know.
Yeah.
And they bond with one another, and it kind of comforts them.
I see. So they do kind of like the companionship.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. They're very social animals, so we really try to place them together, if at all possible.
And I'm sure this is clearly probably a case-by-case, but, again, since we're sort of telling this by way of Little Turkey now, he got there on December 1st, it looks like. How long would you guess he'll be at the center before he's ready to be released?
Actually, he's just about ready to be released.
Oh.
But we like to release animals in pairs or more.
Oh, okay.
And nobody else in his pen, there's five other animals with him,
yeah,
are really ready to be released. Their weight is not up to what we'd like to see.
I see.
So what we would like to do is take Little Turkey maybe out to a buoy, like maybe Dana Point, and release them where there are other animals.
So it's the same idea, it sounds like, as even when they're in your care, that when they're released or going to be released, maybe in his case, the idea is to make sure they have a social, at least a companion, if not a network.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And that, obviously, I guess you just found that that's going to make sure, or at least up the odds of their kind of re-entry being more successful.
Exactly. Or else we may take a boat and maybe go over to Seal Rock over there in Laguna, where all the sea lions hang out.
Sure.
We've done that as well. So it'll just be one of those options.
I see.
Yeah.
And so how typical is the little turkey story in terms of, you know, arriving with you guys and then the care that he's gotten and then, again, this likely release scenario?
Little Turkey's, he's pretty much the scenario that we get.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the younger animals, we get a lot of pups in, and we just get them to, you know, eating fish and then just getting them fattened up. They get deworming medication because they sometimes have parasites as well.
Okay.
And just getting them out into the larger pool area where they can compete with other animals for their fish.
And it sounds like it's very common that they're pups. Is it, have they kind of like gotten lost or sort of disconnected unintentionally from their moms? Have their moms in some cases just kind of said, hey, see you later, you're on your own? I mean, it sounds like they're not quite ready to be on their own, or is that not right?
Usually we get them when they're about 5-6 months of age or older, of course.
Okay.
And that is about weaning time.
I see.
Sea lion pups will nurse between 6 months to a year if mom will let them for a year.
I see.
And so when we see them, they are, you know, freshly away from mom, and they may not have, you know, got their hunting skills down.
I see.
As well as they should have. So they lose weight, the immune system gets a little depleted, and, you know, they get sick, just like if we don't take care of ourselves and eat well. Same type of thing.
But what might be interesting then in this case, Michelle, if I follow you then, is, mm-hmm. is if let's say, you know, Little Turkey or someone that's there, you know, has wound up there before their hunting skills were maybe as developed or didn't learn as much maybe from mom before they got separated. What happens when they're then released? I mean, do you guys try to train them a little bit further in that direction, or how are they better equipped if they haven't quite gotten up to speed on the hunting thing?
If they're young animals, a lot of times we will get some live fish
mm-hmm.
to make sure that they will go after live fish.
I see.
And be able to catch them.
Okay.
They may not want to eat them. Usually we'll do goldfish or something like that.
I see.
It's hard to keep bait fish alive. We don't have that kind of equipment.
Right, right.
But it's amazing. Sometimes we'll do that as well with the goldfish if they haven't started eating, just to kick in their instincts.
Interesting.
Instincts wow. are stronger than anything.
Yeah. So it's just sometimes just like jump-starting that.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, my goodness, there's a moving fish in the water. And it just kicks it right in.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Wow. And so, again, sounds like Little Turkey is pretty common. What are some sort of notable exceptions in terms of a, whether it might be particularly complicated or harrowing rescue or rehabilitation story with, you know, one hopes a happy ending that you would encounter, I guess, now and again?
Well, we get a lot of interesting rescues. We've sometimes are underneath cars that are, you know, parked there by beach areas, so we're climbing underneath cars trying to get them out. We've had them come up by local hotels on the beach and are like sitting on the lawn chairs there or sitting on someone's porch. We've had one big female that beat herself, and she was sitting on lawn chair on these people's back porch, and they were eating breakfast one morning and look out the window, and it's like, oh, my goodness, look what's on our patio.
Yeah, waiting for a cool drink to be delivered or something,
So, and sometimes they're like in the restrooms of the beaches that are right there on the water, and they get in all sorts of weird places.
and so it sounds like, you know, because this sort of may or may not hook in a way to that story that was, you know, fairly high profile in the last week or so with the sea lion that made it up to central California. Now,
right.
I mean, is that, unfortunately, now, obviously, I think at least part of that was influenced by the bullet that was discovered in
right.
that sea lion's
right.
head, and that may have been why he was a bit more disoriented.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like even if something not quite as pronounced as that they just get a bit disoriented sometimes, and that's how they ended up in a chair at a hotel lounge.
Yeah, they're curious animals, especially sea lions are very curious. So, wherever they may end up. That story about the hotel was years ago during El Nino. But they do come up in some odd places.
Sure.
Yeah.
And how often are you guys called into action because a sea lion or a seal has been intentionally harmed?
The past couple of years, we've gotten quite a few animals coming in with fish hooks, either in their flippers or stuck in their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going after, you know, the fish.
Right.
They get the hook and everything in there.
Sure.
We've gotten some shark bites in, some nets, you know, around the neck, the gill nets around the neck.
Yeah.
Some gunshots as well.
And gunshots, I guess, is that just either fishermen who are really mad or people who've had too much to drink, or what's the story behind that?
Yeah, it's hard to say,
you
know, who's shooting them and the reasons why.
Yeah.
But, you know, the sea lions are very opportunist feeders, and, you know, a lot of times they will follow boats and you get somebody out there, you know.
Sure.
It's really horrible. We've had an animal, just bled out on the way to the center. We couldn't do anything.
Oh, jeez.
And animals that we've had to put to sleep just because they've been shot in the face. And there's, you know, there's no hope for them. So.
Yikes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on quickly from that.
Something happier.
Yes. So let me just say, this is Talking Animals on KUCI. Our guest is Michelle Hunter from the Friends of the Sea Lion Marine Mammal Center in Laguna Beach. And let's find out a little bit more about the staff there, because I know it's primarily a huge number of volunteers that help out at any given day or week. But how many of there are you on staff, and what are the sorts of backgrounds?
We have myself, the Director of Operations and Animal Care,
mm-hmm.
and I actually started as a volunteer.
Oh, wow,
back
neat.
In 1989.
Great.
And I had a human resources background and a bit of a medical background working at Children's Hospital.
Oh, wow.
And everything was, you know, hands-on learning.
Sure.
And just kind of went up the ladder there.
That's great.
And then we have a Director of Education, which she also started as a volunteer, and she got her bachelor's in Santa Cruz. And so she's on staff.
Great.
And then we have a development director that she wasn't a volunteer, but she actually works and she volunteers on Sundays as well. So you can look at the dedication, you know, on the days off people are coming in to help out with the animals.
That's neat, and it's clear that if you really want to, you know, kind of get directly involved and maybe turn it into to something that could be a profession, that volunteering is clearly the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now I want to get a bit more into volunteers in a moment, but
sure.
are there vets either on staff or that you have a relationship with? How does that work?
We have a veterinarian that has been with us for over 11 years.
Wow,
and
great.
He's also a pathologist, so anytime an animal does pass away, we do an autopsy, which is called a necropsy,
mm-hmm.
and he's a pathologist, so he can look at the tissue samples and determine the cause of death.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's wonderful to have a vet and a pathologist all wrapped into one.
That's great,
yeah,
because, again, I got to believe that's really helpful to figure out, you know, for the future, like what kind of care or what happened in the case of one that didn't quite make it.
Oh,
or that was just in too bad a shape when he was called to your attention.
We're doing a little bit more research with tissue samples and such.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
So
on the volunteer front, how many volunteers are there right now, would you say? I mean, overall at the center?
Basically, we have between about 70 and 80 volunteers.
That's great.
And we have animal care volunteers and then our education volunteers as well.
And how do each of those, I mean, they're pretty self-explanatory, but how do each of those work and what do each kind of person do?
Our education volunteers will speak to the general public. We're open from 10 to 4 daily.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll talk to the people that come through and talk about the animals in our care and just about marine mammals and such. And do presentations. We do a lot of presentations to different school groups, anything from toddlers up to adults.
Okay.
And then the animal care volunteers, do everything. From
mm-hmm.
cleaning pens, laundry, weighing out the fish, thawing the fish, tube feeding the animals, going on rescues. Anything that's involved in taking care of the animals, there are animal care volunteers.
Sure.
And we could not work without them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I imagine that those volunteers probably have to do a number of things to kind of work up to having direct contact with the animals.
Yes. Everything is hands-on
mm-hmm.
learning. You don't need to have animal care experience.
Okay.
A good common sense and is definitely needed.
Sure.
If you're working with wild animals, and a real team effort is put into it just to keep everyone protected and the animals and the volunteers safe.
Yeah.
You start off doing, kind of the grunt work, cleaning the poopy pens.
Sure.
And the laundry and the dishes and that kind of thing, and then eventually start learning how to restrain the animals for tube feedings and wound care, and then get into tube feeding and get to participate on rescues and also participate on the releases.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so how does one, if someone's listening and wants to get involved, what's the first step that they would take?
Well, the first step, first of all, to let you know, we do ask for your commitment because there is a lot of training involved.
I'm sure.
And we like the people to stick to a certain day and a certain shift.
Okay.
So if they're interested and think they can commit to a year, to call on that particular day and ask to speak with the animal care supervisor.
I see.
And then talk with them, come down, see what we're about,
mm-hmm.
and, set up an interview.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. And along the sort of the same lines as relying as heavily as you do on that volunteer squad, let's talk a little bit about funding. I guess it's primarily sort of donations and memberships, or how
yeah.
are you funded?
We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization,
mm-hmm.
so we do have a membership program, and it can start from $25 to become Ellison Field Club member, all the way up to how much anybody would like to give.
Okay.
And we do write grants for particular projects. It's hard to write grants for general operating support. So the general operating support, the fish, the medication, the gas for the truck, the electric bill, the water bill, is all through people's generous donations.
I see.
Yeah.
And it sounds like there's kind of various club levels, I guess, that you could join at. I mean, what are sort of the perks and privileges, let's say, if you, are able to donate at a kind of higher level?
A higher level could get you on our big donor board,
mm-hmm.
and your name would be engraved there as one of our major donors.
Cool.
Special, you are invited to special events. All members get our newsletter,
mm-hmm.
and, also invited to events as well.
Yeah, neat. And, for example, I noticed when I was there yesterday, I picked up a flyer that there are events periodically, including coming up on March 17th, this Story Time with Sammy.
Yes.
Which sounds neat. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that, Michelle.
Yeah, that little story time is geared towards younger children,
mm-hmm.
Little toddlers. And we have Sammy the Sea Lion, which is our mascot, and he'll be present while our education director will read a story about Billy's Buckets, and the children will get a little gift as well.
Neat.
And it's just, this is something new that we're doing for
sure.
toddlers, because there's a lot of moms clubs up there.
Yeah.
Out there, and looking for things for the children to do.
Yeah, not only that, but it's also, I think, really neat to expose, little kids to animals, and just the idea of looking after animals and caring for them, and just that whole idea of compassion starting even, that young.
Oh, yeah, it needs to be started young to be able,
yeah.
to keep these animals and our environment going.
Sure, absolutely.
In the future.
So that's on March 17th from 10 to 11 a.m. at the center. And perhaps one of the coolest aspects, really, of the center that you kind of allude to in passing, but I really want to call attention to, is mm-hmm. that you can visit there.
Yes.
Just anybody, really, within reason,
yeah.
can visit there any day between 10 and 4.
That's correct.
And it's really, really neat there. I mean, it's such a neat place, and there's such a wonderful vibe. I mean, I've been going off and on for years, and again, was there yesterday, and, you know, maybe not the greatest aroma sometimes.
No,
but,
not the greatest.
yeah, but a great vibe, because there's, again, not surprisingly, the volunteers are really neat people, and... You know, the animals obviously are in various states of being, you know, rehabilitated and stuff, but there's just a really neat kind of feel to it, you know. And it's just great to be able to, you know, get that close to seals and sea lions.
Oh, yeah, to be able to view them that close,
yeah.
It is really incredible.
Yeah. So, Michelle, we're probably just about towards the end of our time here, but what's the thing that you like the very best about the center? You've obviously been involved a long time, starting off as a volunteer and now
right.
as the director. What's the kind of coolest aspect or most gratifying aspect from your standpoint?
I think being able to take these sick animals and watch them progress from sometimes near death and being able to release them back, you know, to the water.
Sure.
Into the ocean is just so gratifying, and being able to do it with volunteers that have gone through the process, and it's just like a big celebration to be able to do that.
Yeah, it must be a big just yeehaw moment or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of tears, many times many tears.
Sure. Well, yeah, because I know that in some cases, some of those animals, depending on what kind of shape they're in and how they arrived there, really need, you know, some very close hands-on care. Even though I know you don't want them to imprint and become too attached to humans, but I know there's sometimes where their cases are just severe enough where they can't really help that. So I'm sure when they leave, in whatever way they do, that
right.
must be even harder. You
yes,
know?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So, well, there's great, great work happening down there at the Friends of the Sea Lion Marine Mammal Center. And again, go down and visit, maybe get involved as a volunteer, maybe send a couple of bucks.
Yes.
But do what you can. And Michelle, thank you so much for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Thank you so much for having us today.
All right. And we'll be back down again soon to see those little fellers and see how they're doing, the guys and gals, and put a couple more bucks in that little donation box, too.
Great.
So, okay, Michelle, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, again, we want to thank Michelle Hunter from the Friends of the Sea Lion Marine Mammal Center in Laguna Beach and that website for all kinds of cool info and their current clients and ways to get involved and programs, etc. www.fslmmc.org. So, Duncan Strauss, you're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI in Irvine, 88.9 FM, streaming live on the internet at kuci.org. It's time now to proceed to Name That Animal Tune. This is remarkably like any other version of Name That Tune you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related, usually just by virtue of one or more of the animals being part of the song title, but occasionally it's a bit more indirect than that. So, like most renditions of this game, of course, we can only provide a brief snippet of the tune in question for a number of reasons, not least that while, of course, the game hinges on a song being somewhat recognizable, we also don't want to stray too far for too long from the KUCI music policy. So with that preamble behind us, but also noting there's always a prize, that's right, folks, cool prize, as I mentioned earlier, for the first caller who correctly identifies the song and artist. And again, today it's on the order of practically who's buried in Grant's tomb. So as soon as you recognize this animal tune, please phone us, 949-824-5824. 949-UCI-KUCI. Okay, let's get started. It's Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals here on KUCI.
How much is that doggy in the window? The one with the wagony chair. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy's for sale. I must take a trip.
All right, well, I think you see what I mean by the Grant's tomb nature. So if you happen to think of it, recognize it, call in 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And... I'm Duncan Strauss, and we've just about reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. I want to again thank our guest, Michelle Hunter, of Friends of the Sea Lion Marine Mammal Center in Laguna Beach.
Visit their website at www.fslmmc.org or visit the center itself in Laguna Beach any day from 10 to 4. I also want to thank you all for listening. I hope you'll join us next Monday on Talking Animals when we're thrilled to report. Our guest will be Alan Young, who played Wilbur on Mr. Ed. And also had a long storied career really before and after his Ed days, including now at 84. He provides the voice of Scrooge McDuck and does other on-screen stuff. And anyway, so it's going to be a very cool conversation. So please try to join us for our interview with Alan Young next Monday, March 1st on Talking Animals. And by the way, other great public affairs shows on KUCI include Just Today Alone, the Serena Sharp Show, which of course precedes Talking Animals. Then at 5 p.m. we offer Counterspin, the wonderful syndicated feature, followed at 5:30 by Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan. And that's just Monday, folks. There's great public affairs programming and talk shows like that virtually each weekday, 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 in the morning. Then again, typically from 5 to 6 in the afternoon on weekdays here on KUCI. Again, I want to urge you to check out our website, talkinganimals.net. And when you get there, please sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. Also, I encourage you to email me with comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news stories, and anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@aol.com. I really look forward to hearing from you. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease, his great, great, great blues show here on KUCI. As always, we're going to close things out with an animal-related tune. This is Julie Plug with a song called Dolphin and Me. Again, we urge you to catch the Blues Disease, which will be infecting you momentarily on KUCI. This is 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks for listening. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And we'll catch you next week on Talking Animals.